You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our new show, Aging Redefined, brought to you by Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, which is a top-rated facility in San Diego focusing on skilled nursing and physical therapy rehab. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm so excited to be joined by my new co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. Dr. Emder, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, and it's great to be here today.
Good. I'm so glad. I'm so excited that you're here today. Dr. Emder, for those of you who weren't listening to our last show, shame on you, but it is new. So you will get to know him very well. He is a pulmonary genius, as I mentioned last week, a board certified in internal medicine and pulmonary medicine with advanced training in anti-aging, which works out really well for our listeners and me included. I'm always willing to hear a few new tips. But for those of you who weren't tuned into our show last week, aging is changing. And that is really the basis of our show. So many things are happening where people are living longer. They're more active, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are living healthier. Are they, Dr. Emder?
Absolutely not. You know, there's problems with the quality of life issues and longevity. Mm-hmm. I have several patients, they've worked hard their entire lives. Mm-hmm. They come up to the retirement and they're diagnosed with a cancer, and then they're in chemotherapy, the quality of life deteriorates. So this show today is about not getting that cancer. Mm-hmm. When you retire, having a full and active life so you can enjoy your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And we have an expert here today, Dr. Tiru, who's going to tell us exactly how we can live longer without cancer.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I've got a lot of questions. I know, I'm sure there's so much going on in the world right now where they're just, I don't know whether it's rumors or what's the newest and greatest best thing to prevent cancer or what gives you cancer. Gosh, everything from what different types of false sugars and I don't know. There's so much stuff out there in the world. So that'll be a great show to pay attention to. And so I guess.
Well, what I'd like to do now is have you give us the latest and greatest on what's new in medicine today.
Oh, I can totally do that. That sounds like a great idea. So for our members out there, our audience listening, as promised, we've got some new advancements in medicine that you might find a little bit interesting. Our first one, there happens to be a new cocktail out there that could lead to faster detection of infectious diseases. And when I say cocktails, I don't mean alcohol, people. I know that probably caught a lot of people off guard at 6 o'clock in the morning. But this mix is actually a new DNA powder with some gold particles in it. The new mix has been developed by a researcher from the University of Toronto's Institute of Biomaterials and Biomedical Engineering. It consists of the same technology that's used in over-the-counter pregnancy tests and could be used to detect diseases from HPV to HIV to even malaria. So basically, for a pregnancy test, the gold particles change the test window red because the particles are associated with an antigen that finds a certain hormone in the urine of a pregnant woman. This test would act much the same way, but instead of the hormone, it would be able to pinpoint the exact disease by linking the gold particles to a DNA strand. So this is exciting stuff because it ultimately means much less of the gene is required to be present for the solution to show the result. One drop of blood or saliva may be used to test for multiple diseases. So making this solution or this testing solution into a powder is also a huge benefit because it's lighter and easier to ship versus a solution. So in years down the line, it can be developed into an acute, inexpensive, over-the-counter test for diseases like malaria or HIV, which is pretty exciting. All right, moving on. Researchers in Europe have also found that general anesthesia in elderly patients may raise the risk for dementia. The University of Bordeaux, France, recently reported at the annual Congress of the European Society of Anesthesiology that elderly patients who are exposed to general anesthesia have a 35% higher risk for developing dementia. That's a huge deal. The team focused on over 9,000 patients aged 65 and older, where the average age was about 75, and they were living in several different communities in France. They were interviewed at the start of the study, then again at 2 years, 4 years, 7, and 10 years later. At each assessment, Participants were asked whether they had a history of anesthesia, including general or local anesthesia, since their previous follow-ups. The data was adjusted to factor in possible confounders, such as comorbidities and socioeconomic status. After accounting for the possible confounders, those with at least one general anesthesia within the terms of the study had a 35% higher risk of developing dementia. So anesthesia exposure has not only been found to affect the brains of older people. Scientists from the Mayo Clinic also reported in February that children exposed to the anesthesia may many times have a higher risk of developing ADHD, which can be kind of scary as well. I know everybody's trying to look out for ways to keep their children healthy. And third, on a lighter note, they say laughter is the best medicine, but a recent study has determined that tickling laughter produces different brain responses than social laughter. When we hear someone laughing because they're being tickled, the connections in our brain respond differently than when we hear social laughter, such as that which expresses joy or comes with a mocking behavior. Basically, laughing at someone and laughing with someone leads to different social consequences. The study was conducted using an MRI to observe the brains of 18 healthy, medication-free volunteers, 9 men and 9 women, averaging 26 years old, as they listened to 3 types of human laughter: joy, taunt, and tickling. They found that when people heard sounds of happy or teasing laughter, regions of the brain that process more complex social information were activated. This is very similar to when you go to the zoo and see animals or primates playing and teasing their young to help reinforce play and increase social bonding. But because serious tickling laughter produces more complex sound patterns than other types of laughter, it activates parts of the brain normally associated with processing acoustic complexity. For example, if we say a word, this is the part of the brain that determines it was sarcastic. The study findings could eventually lead to treatments for people with anxiety or other similar conditions, as the findings conclude that laughing may play an important role in influencing cognitive functions regarding health and disease. So very exciting stuff out there. And everybody, stay with us. We've got a lot more information out there for you, especially regarding the issue Dr. Emder talked about, which is preventative issues for cancer, how to stay healthy longer, how to live a better life. There's tons of stuff coming up. So hang in with us and we will be right back.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right. I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care, just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com. Or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Hi, everybody. everybody, and welcome back to our show, Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. We're so excited to have you here today. Our show is basically designed for healthy aging. As aging is changing, we're trying to give you some information on what's new in medicine. But most importantly, as we're getting older, how do we just live a great, healthy life? So for some audience members out there, you might just be climbing that ladder and trying to figure out how to stay healthy. And for some of you, you're in the senior category and you might be experiencing those hip fractures or what you need in a nursing home. But today, we've got a great show planned, and it's actually more focused on cancer. So I know that sounds a little dark, but at times, if we can prevent it, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So Dr. Emder, I'm super excited about this. I know we've got our great guest coming on, Dr. Tiru, who we can talk a little bit more in depth. But I know you, having internal medicine background and pulmonary medicine, have seen a lot of this as well. So cancer. I've got a question for you right out of the chute. Are you ready?
Cross my fingers. Hope I can answer it.
I know you can.
Make it a true false question.
Okay. So I have a lot of water bottles in my car. Obviously, cancer is a big deal to everybody, but I've got a lot of water bottles in my car, and I'm constantly drinking this water that's been sitting in the sun. And somebody came up to me and said, Kendra, you can't drink that water. You're going to get cancer. And that was a shock to me. But then as I started researching it, there's all this BPA-free plastic and what's going on. I have no idea. So really, can I get cancer from these water bottles that have been sitting in my car?
Well, you know, we don't know for sure. But what we do know is there's a compound in the plastic called BPA or the bisphenols.
Okay.
And this is like an estrogen-like effect on the body. So if you're a woman worried about breast cancer, or if you have breast cancer, you do not want to be getting a lot of extraneous estrogen into your system. And by having the bottle in your car being cooked, you will be getting the BPA. So the answer is, you know what? Don't leave the water bottles in your car and throw them out.
Just to be safe. But you say external estrogen. But what about like taking estrogen pills? Is that not the same type of estrogen?
Well, there's, you know, that's actually quite controversial, and that's probably something we should save for another show.
Okay.
But generally speaking, there's estrogen in the environment. Where is it? Well, a lot of your makeup that are made by the various companies put estrogen in the products. We don't even know about it because they're priority products. So when you're applying, you're potentially applying estrogen to your skin. So now, if you're drinking water out of a bottle that's been cooked in your trunk, you're getting some exogenous estrogen. When you have soy products, that's a phytoestrogen. And what we don't want to happen is for us to be completely and continually bombarded with estrogen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to be aware of where the other estrogen is coming from in your environment and try to eliminate it. So what do you do? Try to find out what's in your products, what's in your makeup products. Are there any estrogen distillates in there? Do not drink products or water bottles that sit in your car that have the BPA. And, you know, watch how much soy you ingest during a week.
No kidding. Okay. So, but honestly, is it like everything where kind of everything in moderation, you know, because how can you avoid makeup? I mean, I wear a whole bunch of it, but we're not saying that that's going to be the
cause. No, I mean,
things,
makeup
right?
is fine for you, but you know, as a consumer, you know, you should ask about, you know, what are in the compounds that you're putting on your body.
Okay.
Is the biggest thing.
So try to limit it is essentially what we're saying.
Absolutely. And these are things you could do to prevent getting cancer because a lot of exogenous estrogen, you know, I don't think is healthy for you.
Dang. Okay. But I do like my warm water in my water bottles.
You know, I'm going to go out to my car as soon as we get home and throw out the 8 bottles in the bottom that are underneath my seat. But I may give them to my dog, you know.
Hey, I love my dog. I would never put my dog in danger.
All right, we'll just throw them out. But the good news is we have an expert on the show today.
Oh, perfect.
This is Dr. Tiru, who is my partner, a pulmonologist in San Diego, also board certified in anti-aging, and practices with me at the Healthy Aging Medical Associates. And she has an interest in cancer prevention. So, Dr. Tiru, welcome to the show today. And I guess my first question is, why are you so interested in cancer and cancer prevention?
Thank you, Kendra and Larry, for inviting me to speak in this great program.
Oh,
I am
course.
Parvati Tiruvilvamala, and I'm a board-certified pulmonary critical care doc Why am I interested? Because as a critical care physician, you and I see a lot of patients dying of terminal lung cancer. We cannot do anything about them. We see a lot of breast cancer. They're all dying. And so I have an active interest in seeing how we can prevent these cancers. And that's my area of interest.
So Dr. Tiro is board certified in pulmonary internal medicine and critical care medicine, and also has a healthy aging clinic that we participate in together. So my first question is, what are the most common cancers in men and women?
In men, the most common cancer is prostate, followed by lung, followed by colorectum. And in females, it's the breast cancer, lung cancer, and colorectal cancer. What is interesting is if these four cancers account for 50% of all cancer deaths in the United States. Moreover, even though lung cancer is the second cause of cancer in both sexes, it's the leading cause of death, cancer death, in this country.
No kidding.
Yes.
Well, what are the risk factors? What gets us into trouble?
Well, the risk factors depend upon the kind of cancer. For lung cancer, it is simple. It's tobacco, and radon exposure. For breast cancer, there are multiple risk factors. Do I have time to talk about them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Breast cancer... what is interesting is 15 to 20% of all cancers are caused by obesity. Obesity is a major risk factor, particularly abdominal obesity. So what kind of cancers does abdominal obesity cause? Postmenopausal breast cancer, endometrial cancer, colon and rectum cancer, particularly abdominal obesity. Also kidney cancer, which is interesting because kidney should not have anything to do with obesity. But kidney cancer, obesity is a major risk factor. It also causes gallbladder cancer and esophageal cancer by increasing gastroesophageal reflux. And in the process, chronic acid reflux in the esophagus can cause esophageal cancer.
Now, last week on the show, we were actually talking about weight loss just from the pure standpoint for, you know, healthy lifestyles.
Right.
So what you're saying is that it's also a major factor for cancer prevention.
Yes, absolutely.
So why exactly is obesity such a big deal? Is it more of what you're eating, or is it just, you know, people that are obese have a tendency to get that cancer?
Great question. Obesity causes cancer in multiple ways. Multiple mechanisms are proposed. One is affecting the immune system and the inflammation. And also adipose tissue. Dr. Amdur was talking about exogenous estrogens. Adipose tissue is the major source of estrogen production in postmenopausal females. And estrogen is insulin-like growth factors, as well as prostaglandins and many other factors are influenced by the adipose tissue. So it's basically an estrogen-producing factory, and it could be that's the reason probably it's responsible for many of the hormone-dependent cancers like breast cancer and endometrial cancer.
Kendra, don't look so concerned. You're very thin.
Well, thank you, Dr. Emder, but you never know what's right down the line. I do love my French fries and chocolate and everything else bad for you that is probably cancer-causing at this point. But always good to know. That's fascinating to me.
What is also fascinating is alcohol. Alcohol is a major risk factor for breast cancer, in case we didn't know it.
Really?
Well, I knew it. I don't tell my wife. I mean, I like her, but I like to drink my wine.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. I'm thinking, men, just gotten rid of all the good stuff.
For men, it is 2 drinks per day, and a drink is defined as 5 ounces of wine, 12 ounces of beer, or 1.5 ounce of 80-proof alcohol, distilled alcohol. For women, it is 1. And it's been
You're saying you can have 2 drinks a day for a man and 1 drink for a woman.
Yeah, no more than that. And
not American sizes either,
American Cancer Society actually recommends total abstinence for women with very high risk factors for breast cancer, like those who have family history of breast cancer and those who have the genes which can cause breast cancer. And any alcohol consumption compared to no drinkers increases the breast cancer risk by 10 to 12% per drink.
Oh, the show's getting a little gloomy. I didn't realize it was
sorry.
So realistic. It was going to hit me so hard.
Yeah, so our audience is probably down to like three people,
right,
they're in this room.
It's gone. No one's paying attention anymore. But okay, so what's the whole deal with a glass of wine, you know, helping your heart and that kind of stuff, is it?
Yes, a glass of wine is good, but please don't do more than a glass of wine.
No more,
I'm a teetotaler. Ha ha. But going back to alcohol, it's also a major risk factor, particularly combined with tobacco, for cancer of the mouth, larynx, pharynx, esophagus, stomach, pancreas, and colon cancer.
Interesting. So, I mean, just to throw this at you, I know that there are people that are older, like you look at George Burns, who smoked till he was who knows how old, but the question is always, okay, if they had stopped smoking at 80, would that have caused them to die through the withdrawals? So are there some people that just kind of get lucky and they should just keep doing what they're doing?
See, biological medicine is not laboratory medicine. Every human being is a very complex machine. Mm-hmm. And what happens to one person may not happen to other person. These are epidemiological and observational studies. We cannot mm-hmm. apply that to individual person.
She just got our whole audience back.
Yes.
Did you like that?
However, you know, the evidence is very strong about alcohol and cancer, and so is it for meat, particularly meat which is very broiled at very high temperatures.
Why don't we break there? And it sounds like that would be a nice topic for our next segment.
Absolutely. So our audience out there, stay with us, and we will be right back talking about preventative measures for cancer and particularly meat.
And I'm going to go out and have my first drink of the day.
And I'm going to go get a hamburger.
Hey, you heard it, and this is authentic evidence. It's up to you what you do.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right, I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care, just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com. Or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Welcome back to our show, Aging Redefined, brought to you by Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. We've got Dr. Tiru on the show today, and obviously joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. Dr. Emder, how you doing?
Hey, we're still doing good.
We're still doing good, even after that last segment.
I'm recovering from that drink I had. So
yeah, no kidding. We've been talking today about cancer and cancer prevention. So Dr. Tiru knows a lot about this, and as we've been going through some of the specifics, right before we ended the last segment, we were talking a little bit about obesity and how having some alcohol might not be the best thing for cancer prevention. But right before we ended, she said something about meat as well, which reminded me, Dr. Emder, last week we were talking about your diet and you were saying that you've basically taken out all of the red meat as well and made you really healthy. So just kind of want to bounce that back off the two of you and see where are we going down this train of fun things we cannot do
Well, you know, I stopped eating meat about a year and a half ago because of my family risk factors for heart disease. And one of the things with heart disease are saturated fats, which you obviously get from red meat. Dr. T, let me ask you a question. We're actually a barbecuing society. I mean, you go turn on the ads on TV, they're telling you what charcoal to buy and where to get the best meats and the best dips. Is there any way to charcoal your food and do it in a healthy way?
Unfortunately, the only way you can do that is by cutting portions. You use meat as a flavor-enhancing agent. Use it as a small portion of your meal. And if you have to cook meat, cook other means like broil at low temperature, poach them or braise them or boil them.
What about
that? If you're going to eat the meat is a very high risk factor for colon cancer, actually. Colon cancer, particularly meat consumption, more than 100 grams of red meat per day and 50 grams of processed meat per day is associated with increased risk of colon cancer.
No kidding. So are we talking, I mean, you mentioned the charcoal. Let's go back to the sausage, because I like sausage. When you're talking about, you were saying it's the temperature, it's got to be cooked at a high, or if it's cooked at a high temperature, that's releasing the things that we don't want to eat? Or is it what's actually in the sausage? Like if we go and buy organic sausage, does that make it okay?
I can't answer that question about organic sausage, but
okay.
Sausage is preserved, from what I know, with nitrites to prevent bacterial contamination.
Okay.
And the nitrites in the sausage, along with the salt, can release chemicals when cooked at high temperature.
Got it. Okay.
And similarly, red meat cooked at high temperature over charcoal can release multiple bad things. So while it's not said do not eat meat, it's just that limit the amount to less than 100 grams of red meat a day and less than 50 grams of sausage per day, because anything more than that is definitely linked to colon cancer. Also cancer of the esophagus.
So maybe in the moderation, you know.
Moderation.
And once a week, small amounts.
Yeah, small amounts.
Pile on the fresh vegetables.
Correct.
Have a lot of salad.
Right.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Got it.
So what do you have positive for us today so we don't have to leave here crying?
Positive is maintain a healthy body weight all through the life. Avoid gaining weight. Stop being a couch potato. Stop watching too much TV and eat plenty of whole grains. Eat plenty of fresh and even cooked vegetables, at least 2.5 to 3 cups a day.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely avoid tobacco, consume alcohol in moderation, consume meat in moderation, and lead a healthy lifestyle. Those are all the preventable things.
Gotcha. Okay. So if we're talking about prevention, there has to be a lot to do with it that's just kind of in the genes. Is that true?
See, those are the non-modifiable risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot modify who you are, who your parents are, that's a given, that's done already.
Mm-hmm.
We can only modify what we can do, and these are the modifiable factors.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid the bad things, do the good things, stay healthy, stay active, and when they say active, yet what they're showing is vigorous activity is protective against breast cancer, pre- and postmenopausal, as well as prostate cancer. So we are talking about really, if somebody is active and they want to prevent breast cancer, rather than doing moderate exercise, do vigorous exercise. That's what is recommended. 150 minutes per week.
Okay.
And start in childhood. Don't let the children be couch potatoes. They have to start being very healthy.
No video games, right? Out in the sunlight, like you were talking about last week, Dr. Amder.
Absolutely. Well, in fact, Kendra, you were talking about George Burns. He smoked probably, I don't know, 5 cigars a day, lived to 90.
Mm-hmm.
How does this happen? And the answer is, we all have a different genetic makeup. And some people have a good set of genes, some people have a bad set of genes. That's why it's important to know your family tree. Just because there's a family history of cancer doesn't mean that you're going to get the cancer. There's things you can do to prevent it. Let's say you have 3 glasses of wine instead of 2,
mm-hmm.
or you're eating a little extra meat. You can do things to decrease your risk of cancer. And those are simple things like Dr.
Absolutely.
T, we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The exercise, huge. Being at your ideal body weight, your body mass index, you want it between the 22 and 26. Decrease the amount of depot estrogens in your fat. It's a huge factor to reduce your risk of breast cancer. The exercise is huge. And
okay.
Diet. And probably the biggest thing is eating, increasing the amount of fiber in your diet, which helps your body get rid of these phytoestrogens and toxins in the system.
Okay. So my biggest question is, cancer runs in my family, but more in the skin cancer arena. Does that make me susceptible to cancer in other ways?
Very good question. I don't have answer for that.
Okay.
But sun protection and getting regular screening will be my answer to that.
Okay.
Definitely protect yourself from sun. Use very high SPF when you go out in the sun, mm-hmm. if you have to. And routine screening for skin cancer.
Okay.
Very, very important for melanoma.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely because you're going to protect yourself against sun, you have to maintain your vitamin D intake, and you have to make sure you get your vitamin D level in the optimum level.
Got it. Okay.
Love vitamin D.
Yeah,
I do too.
But I have some other opinion on the skin. And you are at increased risk for skin cancer because, you know, you're so fair-skinned.
Mm-hmm. I'm Italian, though. I get dark in the summer. You would know it, right?
Yeah, well, as you're getting dark, though, you're exposing yourself to the UV light, which can damage the skin.
This show is just damaging everything I stand for.
However, I mean, what Dr. T. Root talked about is, you know, you want to, when you're outside, you do want to wear a hat. You want to limit your exposure to, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes of bright, you know, sun a day and use your skin protection for sure. And mm-hmm. that will, you know, decrease your risk of skin cancer, you know, throughout your life. I have friends that are now in their 60s, which were, well, one was very active playing tennis, and the other one was a fisherman. And they both came down with melanoma. And why did they come down with melanoma? Is they're always, they crave activities that are out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is, we weren't aware of this when, you know, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, you really want to limit your UV light exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, I was in Australia a few years ago, and
it's a beautiful place there.
Beautiful place, but they're close to the equator, and the incidence of skin cancer is sky high there. And all the kids, when you watch them at their bus stops, they're all wearing these wide brim hats, and they're mm-hmm. wearing their sleeves, shirts with covering most of their skin. And they have actually skin cancer clinics all over the country where they have their population come in because there's such a high prevalence of skin cancer as you get closer to the equator.
And aren't they missing like the part of the ozone layer that has the hole in it? Is that true? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on that. But
environmentalists.
It sounds
that's
right.
Why I think we had the CFCs are being eliminated. That's why
what is being eliminated?
The chlorofluorocarbons are used for the refrigerators and even for the inhalers are being eliminated and being replaced with non-fluorochlorocarbon to
protect the ozone layer.
Yeah, because they're contaminating and destroying the ozone. So you're probably right, but I don't want to comment on it because we're not experts in that area.
Down the line.
We'll get an environmentalist in here next visit.
I like that very much.
Good question.
Thank you.
Thanks for making me look bad.
Yeah. No worries. I do want to continue this show, and I've got another question actually more based on you know, what we can do if cancer is in our background a little bit and some things that we need to do to watch out for that. So if our audience can stay with us, we'll return in just a couple minutes and be back to talk about some more preventative measures for those of you that might have cancer in your history. So we'll be right back.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right. I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare. Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care, just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. Today, we've been talking a little bit more about cancer and cancer prevention. And we have, unfortunately, gone through a couple of things that I will need to remove from my diet, like a little more alcohol and red meat cooked over charcoal, things like that. But on another note, we know that some of our audience members out there, me, myself included, cancer is just in our history. It goes back through our grandparents or great-grandparents or parents and we know that we're going to have to take extra precautions to make sure that it doesn't hit us as well. So, Dr. Emder, could you continue to talk a little bit more about some things we can do to be on the lookout for it?
Well, actually, I've got a question for Dr. Tiru that comes via my wife. She asked me this morning that she doesn't have the vitamin E and some vitamins that I designed for her. She says her girlfriend said to her, you know, you got to take vitamin E because that helps prevent breast cancer. So I don't really know the answer to this. So Dr. Tiru, does vitamin E or other supplements help prevent breast cancer or other cancers?
Well, that's a very good question because a lot of people are taking supplements these days. Unfortunately, this goes back to detox. In our body, the detoxification system has phase one and phase two. And when you take whole fruits and vegetables, they can combine the two systems together, whereas when you take supplements alone, it may not be able to do both the systems together. For example, if you increase the byproducts of phase one detoxification, they can be carcinogens. And if you don't have the phase two stimulated simultaneously, you may end up with a pent-up carcinogen.
What is a stage one, stage two? I don't think our audience really knows.
Phase one detoxification happens in liver where all the fat-soluble products, either B hormones, B chemicals taken from outside, are converted into water-soluble polar molecules by the liver. And subsequently, the phase two detoxification takes over and transfers them into harmless water-soluble molecules excreted by the kidney or by the colon. And so when you take phytochemicals individually, you may not be doing the right job. That's why the recommendation is to take supplements, but not as supplements, but as whole fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, because these have very complex, great properties which you cannot get with single chemical. Actually, studies have been done using beta-carotenes for lung cancer prevention in smokers. People who took the beta-carotene had increased risk of lung cancer. Similarly, selenium and vitamin E for prostate cancer caused increased risk.
Now, what about taking some of those supplements with food, though? Does that kind of balance out, or is it still uneven?
I would think so, but don't go too much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the good news is it sounds like, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money on supplements, just to eat a good, healthy diet.
That's right. 2.5 to 3 cups of fruits and vegetables, cooked, uncooked, doesn't matter. Just don't overcook because a lot of vitamins are lost.
Well, everybody talks about like almonds and nuts. Does that have any anti-cancer properties, or is that a good thing to have in your diet?
They are very nutritious. They are good. They have good protein. good fatty acid profile, monounsaturated fat, but there is no evidence that they prevent cancer.
So it sounds like, you know, as we started the show, we talked about my patients that got to the age of retirement and were diagnosed with a life-ending cancer. So what can we do in our own families to prevent that from happening besides, you know, the diet and exercise? It sounds like screening may be a good thing to have on your repertoire of tricks to keep your family healthy. Can you tell us what are good screening tests that we should be doing on ourselves?
Mammography, according to the Cancer Society recommendations.
What age and how often?
I would 50 and above. 50 and above. Every 2 years, that's what the Cancer Society recommends. For people with a family history of breast cancer, that may be earlier. Cancer screening for colon cancer, every 5 years there is colonoscopy. I believe that's correct.
What age should someone have their first colonoscopy? Probably, I think 55.
55, okay.
And then if there's no problem, I think every 10 years after that.
Yeah.
Now, is that for both females and males?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, so much fun.
Well, you know, I've had that test.
Oh, have
and,
you?
And, you know, it's really not as bad as one would think. The biggest problem is the prep, which it takes a day. But when you go in for the procedure, it's usually done in a surgery center or at the hospital, and they give you these wonderful medications that you don't even remember the procedure.
Yeah.
And you wake up in recovery with not a worry in the world. So it's not as bad as an exam as you might think. The prep can be difficult because you have to clean out the colon, but there are newer preps now that makes that go by pretty easily as well. So we talked about colon cancer. We talked about
breast cancer.
What about prostate cancer? What screening is appropriate for?
Digital rectal examination. I can't comment on the PSA because it's a very controversial subject.
On the what?
PSA.
Prostate-specific antigen test.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a very controversial test. How often to do that, whether to do it or not, I can't comment on it.
What exactly is it?
It's a chemical that is secreted by the prostate.
Okay.
It's a blood test.
Oh, okay,
it's a blood
okay.
test, yeah.
Actually, I think the government just came out saying that you don't have to do that test anymore because usually when an elder man is diagnosed with prostate cancer, it's usually not very aggressive and we're over-treating that population.
Yeah.
But that said, it's very controversial.
The urologists are doing it. A lot of general practitioners are doing it. The thing that Cancer Society believes is you are detecting cancer early, and the person might have died with the prostate cancer, but not from prostate cancer. So that's a controversy.
So what about the skin cancer? How do we screen for that?
Basically just examination, thorough skin examination, looking every part of the body, make sure there is no new moles, no existing moles or crusting or bleeding. That's about it.
I actually go in once a year to my dermatologist
for a
complete. He's my poker partner too.
Well, there you go.
He takes my money both ways. He usually beats me playing poker, and then I have to pay for the visit. My big fear, because as a child, I'm one of these people that used to sit outside with tanning myself with the reflectors so I could get
Baby oil.
Baby oil, so
Did
I could
you?
Get it really fast. So, and I've actually had two squamous cell carcinomas taken off my nose.
What kind of what is that?
Squamous cell cancer about 5 years ago.
Huh.
I'm looking in the mirror. This is actually a good lesson. I'm looking in the mirror and there's it looks like a black dot on my nose that, you know, kept getting bigger. Then I had a brother or sister. And then I was actually ignoring it for about a month or two. I said, you know, this is stupid. I'm a doctor. You need to go get this checked. And I mentioned that because, a lot of our audience will see things in their body and they'll just ignore it because they're afraid of what they are going to find. Well, I went to the dermatologist. I got referred and, you know, it was a cancer, but it was taking off. Knock on wood, I'm 5-10 years out. And and disease-free. Number one is look at your own body. And if you see something that wasn't there before and it's changing in size, color, texture, consistency, you know, get it off.
Don't ignore it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, is there anything that we can do if, like, lung cancer runs in our family, or is lung cancer... The main cause is obviously tobacco. So is it just, okay, I'm not going to smoke and avoid that? But
tobacco and radiation exposure. You know, tobacco, 80 to 90%, and radiation exposure, rest. And also asbestos. We cannot forget asbestos in San Diego. What can you do? Do not smoke. Definitely do not smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And fresh fruits and vegetables are supposed, can prevent. Okay. However, beta-carotene, which is a byproduct, like a phytochemical, did not cause decrease in lung cancer. And as a matter of fact, it increases the risk of lung cancer.
And where do we find that?
Beta-carotene is found in dark leafy vegetables as well as colored vegetables like squash, mangoes, any colored vegetables.
What about carrots?
But carrots, yes.
Huge.
That's why it's called carotene, yeah.
So we're saying beta-carotene does not help, but it sounds like it's in the majority of everything I would go to.
They did a study looking at
it. It's not only not help, it can hurt. So active smokers who have history of lung cancers should not take beta-carotene. That's the recommendation.
Dr. T was referring to a study where they took, everybody said, well, antioxidants are great. So they did a study and they gave these smokers with cancer antioxidants, and their death rate was actually higher. So antioxidants are actually contraindicated with, you know, lung cancer.
Particularly beta-carotene. But fresh fruits and vegetables are not. Rather, I should not say fresh fruits. Fruits and vegetables are not.
So what, I mean, just thinking off the top of my head, what can I eat then? I mean, if we're not going to eat beta-carotene vegetables. What other vegetables are there?
No, not beta-carotene. You can eat carrots.
You can eat carrots.
You don't take beta-carotene.
You don't want to supplement
supplements. Okay, okay.
No supplements with beta-carotene.
The blonde came out for a second. We're just trying to clarify.
No, it's a good question.
It's a good question, yeah.
But to get back to if you are a smoker and what you can do to prevent getting lung cancer is, number one, stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
The first symptom of a pulmonary problem, and often cancer, is a cough. So if you develop a cough, you should get a chest x-ray. That said, if you're a smoker, you should get a yearly chest x-ray. And there's some proposal for people that are at a high risk, i.e. a long smoking history, is to get a CT, a three-dimensional computed tomography of the chest, once a year to pick up these tumors earlier. And I believe some of the insurance companies are starting to cover that. So for all the smokers out there, stop smoking. If you have over a 10-pack year history of smoking, I would say get a yearly chest x-ray. If you're high risk.
Go see a pulmonologist.
And you go see Dr. T or myself. I'm there Mondays and Thursdays. She's there Wednesday. And
oh, I'm sorry.
That was a joke.
Off. Am I cutting
you? And I was just going to give a plug for our office, which is 619-286-8803. We're in the East County. We practice at Alvarado Hospital. Or you could reach us at our website, which is Healthy Aging Medical Associates. And we'd be happy to answer your questions and keep you disease-free.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. That's exactly what I was going to ask for. And audience out there, if you have any questions that you'd like us to talk about or answer on the air, please reach out to me. My email address is kvallone@plumh.com. That's K, V as in Victor, A-L-L-O-N-E, at plum, the letter H, .com. Thanks so much, and we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. Join Kendra every Saturday morning from 6 to 7 a.m. on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ.